We finished our 8-part series on intro to basic Jewish thought, and it was decided to start exploring from within the specifics, from the different opinions of Chazal. So I'm assuming that this stage is very different than the previous stage, meaning until now it was a question of, is it so or not? And now we're exploring more from the perspective of, what is it, than is it so? So the questions of is it so are still legitimate, but then I refer you back to the first 8 classes, and if you find things there that are inadequate, so you're welcome to ask and you're welcome to explore further, but the nature of our learning now has shifted. I didn't want to enter this stage, but you guys want to, so fine. So then we were starting a regular class on different works that teach us the basics of what it is that the specifics of Jewish faith in, as far as the mitzvot of Emunah. In most of Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch adopts the approach of Maimonides to most mitzvot. And so it seems natural to start with Maimonides. Might be most natural to start with the Torah, might be most natural to start with Rashi, and I leave that to you. Well, we will begin for now with the Rambam. And the Rambam has an advantage that it's a very organized work. It's different than all the other works in oral law, which are written purposely in a seemingly disjointed manner. It's a little hard to follow the train of thought when you learn Mishnah or Gemara. And the Rambam purposely broke the trend, and he wrote a work where things seem to have a more understandable order. And so the Rambam begins his work with Sefer HaMada, a book about knowledge, and the first work of the 14 works of the Rambam is that, and that book is divided into different halachot, and the first of those halachot are Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, the halachos of Yesodei. How would we translate Yesodei? The fundamentals, the basics, the bases of the Torah. And the Rambam begins, he has an introduction, we're skipping that for now, and that's a general introduction to all his complete work, the Yad HaChazakah. And then when we come to the book of Mada, the first book, so it says at the top, Mishoch chasdecha liyode'echa v'tzidkatecha liyishrei lev. So the book is about Mada, it's about the knowledge of Hashem. He begins by asking Hashem to extend his kindness to those that know him and his righteousness to those whose hearts are straight. And that's a pasuk we have to think about. What does it mean to have a straight heart? What does it mean, God's righteousness? Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah. And why is it that those that know Hashem deserve kindness, whereas those that simply have a straight heart deserve that which is right? There's depth in that puzzle. That's not our topic. Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah. The laws of the bases of the Torah. Yesh bichlalan esel mitzvot. Incorporated are 10 mitzvot. Shesh mitzvot aseh v'arba mitzvot lo taseh. 6 do's and 4 don'ts. V'zeh upirtan. And they are Leida, to know. And from here in, we have to remember the Rambam wrote in Hebrew. This isn't the translation. The words we're reading are Maimonides' words. Leida sheyesh shem Eloka. And we'll explore that in a minute in the first halacha. We have to define what does it mean, Leida. What does it mean, sheyesh? What does it mean, shem? What does it mean, Eloka? All 4 words need definition. The second mitzvah, that we don't entertain the thought that there is Hashem Eloka, whatever that is, other than Hashem. The third is liyachdo, I don't know what that means, we'll see. The fourth is leahavo, I guess we'll translate that to love him. The fifth is li'ramimeno. I guess we'll translate that to fear him, but that also needs definition. The sixth is lekadesh shemo. Okay, we got to explain that. What does that mean, to sanctify his name? How do you do that? The seventh is shelo lechalel et shemo, not to desecrate his name. Notice the focus on his name. It's not him. It's his name. So that also needs definition. The eighth is shelo labet dvarim shenikra shmo alehen, not to destroy works that have his name, that his name is called upon them. What does that mean? These are called Hashem's tefillin, Hashem's house. You can't destroy it. The ninth is Dishma min anabiyam debel bishmo, to listen to the prophet who speaks in his name. And the tenth is Shelo l'nasoto, not to test him. Okay? 10 mitzvot. Ubiur kol ha-mitzvot elu b'pakim elu. So the explanation is going to be in the following chapters. Perek Rishon. Yisod ha-yisodot v'amud ha-chochmot. So I think the way to learn Rambam is generally to get an overview and then get more depth. So if we had the time, I would say we should take the next hour and a half to fly through all of Yisodat Torah and then start again. If you really want to learn Rambam, that's the way you got to do it. But we just want to learn. We don't really want to learn Rambam. No, we do really want to learn Rambam. So what are we going to do? It's a tough question. So in the allotted time, I suggest that for today, we do fly. And next week, we start going into it. Because the Rambam wrote his works with the system. And sometimes you don't really get the picture by just reading one halacha. I'll give you an example. We could sit here and delve into this halacha. What is the word yesod? And what is yesod ha-yesodot? Meaning if there's a foundation, so there's a foundation to the foundation, yesod ha-yesodot. We could delve into the every word almost of this Rambam, and we won't understand that much. But as we see more, we'll understand more. You hit chapter 3, chapter 4. Things can get complicated. You hit the end of chapter 4. So the Rambam tells you, guess what? What I've been telling you is all pardes. It's the great secrets of Judaism that you can't understand. So why didn't you tell me that at the onset? I'm supposed to break my head over chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. Maybe I've given up by the time I don't even reach that halacha at the very end of chapter 4. Where the Rambam says, guess what? Everything I just told you are the deepest concepts of Judaism. So I think that it was obvious to the Rambam that no one reads one halacha and stops. You first get an overview, and then you start understanding what you're reading. Ah, you'll tell me, but I didn't understand. Right. Part of learning is knowing how to move forward, even though I don't understand completely. So I don't understand, so let me keep reading. You don't give up after the first thing you don't understand. Quite the contrary, you keep reading. Maybe it'll make sense. So to me, that was always a proof that the Rambam at the end of the fourth chapter bothers to mention you weren't supposed to really understand everything I just told you. And he didn't think to begin by saying that. That was like a clear indication to me either the Rambam was testing you. If you're dumb, you'll stop. Okay, so then I didn't want you to read my book anyways.
But even on Avodat Kochavim, that says if you dwell too much into Avodat Zarah, you don't know where you're going to end up to if your Emunah is not that appropriate.
Okay.
So Rambam is telling, don't read this book. Don't go further if you know that.
Fine. Fine. So I think that we'll have to compromise for lack of time. But let's begin with chapter 4, Halacha Yud Gimel. Okay? No. This is basics. It's Rambam.
Don't worry, this is
Rambam. Says the Rambam at the end of chapter 4, V'inyanei alba prakim eilu shevchamesh mitzvot eilu, and the concepts of these four chapters that are encompassed in these five mitzvot, that's what the ancient rabbis call pardes, the orchard. As the Talmud tells us, you guys have it at the end of the fourth chapter. As the Talmud tells us, four entered the pardes and only one came out well. ואבל פי שגדולי ישראל היו וחכמים גדולים היו, and even though they were great sages, לא כולם היה בהם כוח לדע ולהסיק כל הדברים על בריאים. Not all of them had the capacity to really understand everything that was discussed. ואני אומר שאין רואי לטייל בפרדס אלא מי שנתמלא כרצו לחם ובשר. And I say that if you want to walk through the paradise, your stomach has to be filled with bread and wine, bread and meat. ולחם ובשר זהו לדם ביעור האסור והמותר. Meaning you got to know the basic bread and butter of halacha, what's prohibited, what's permissible. V'chayitze ben mishar mitzvot. You got to master all the mitzvot. So maybe the Rambam means to delve into these four chapters. You could have a superficial understanding, but you have to understand that to enter these concepts deeply, that's already the high levels of Kabbalah. Ve'af al pi shedvarim elu davar katon karu otam chachamim. Even though the rabbis sometimes refer to this as something small, sharei amru chachamim davar gadol ma'aseh merkava davar katon avayeh debayeh ve'rava. The rabbis say, you want to know what's big? Ah, that's these first four chapters, the great secrets of the heavenly chariot, how God works the world. You want to know what's small? Ah, that's just understanding basic halachas. That's small fry. Aval biken ruin en nakdiman. He says, nonetheless, you got to start with that. You got to know the basic halachas, what you're supposed to do. Shen miyashvin dato shel adam tchila. Because that's what gives you a certain serenity, a peace of mind. You got to first understand what God wants of you. What are these 613 mitzvot? Ve'od she'en ha'tovah gdona she'shvi ha'kadosh b'chu li'yishuv ha'olam hazeh k'day l'inchol chaya ha'olam haba. Because furthermore, that's the great good that God gave this world, that you have mitzvot, you have 613 mitzvot that allow you to conquer the world to come. Ve'efshar she'yadam ha'kol gadol ve'katon ish v'isha ba'alev rachav u'ba'alev katzar. And everyone could know the basic mitzvot of 613, someone big, someone small, man or woman, someone who has much understanding and someone who has little understanding. So the Rambam says the most important thing is Tariag Mitzvot. But what we're about to read in these four chapters, these are five mitzvot that delving into them is beyond us. Ah, so wait a second, but they're my mitzvot. Right? They're five of the Tariag Mitzvot. I have to perform these mitzvot too. So I guess we have to begin by saying, we have to understand it on one level, and we have to understand that there's greater understanding, which we'll get to, Be'ezrat Hashem. So now let's start. Now that we know that there's a level of depth which the Rambam says is beyond us, there has to be a level that's within our reach, because it's one of our, we have five mitzvot here, we have to know how to do them. And the Rambam begins by saying, Yesoda Yesodot Vamuda Chochmot. And the acronym of the first four words, as was customary and still is customary, to begin a work with God's hidden name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yesod HaYesodot Amud HaChokhmot, the foundation of all foundations and the pillar of wisdom, Leida Sheyesh, to know that there is Shem Matsui Rishon. Okay, so this is the most fundamental. This is the pillar of wisdom. That needs definition on its own. What does that mean? To know. It didn't say to believe. Very clearly. Leida. To know. So we have to attain a level of knowledge. Sheyesh. That there exists. Still today. Not there once existed, but there exists. Shem. What does the word Shem mean? So it says in Bereishis that the people of the Tower of Babel said, let us unite, v'na'ase lanu shem penafutz al penei chol ha'aretz. We will make for ourselves a shem. What does the word shem over there mean? So it seems that the word shem over there means a god, and a potent being. So we have to know there exists a god. He hasn't yet said we have to know there's one god. That's a separate mitzvah, as we saw. That's a third mitzvah. But the first concept is there is a god. That's why, if you recall, in our basics to Judaism class, I didn't begin with a great revelation. I didn't begin with Hashem. I began with the concept there is a God. Because that's the first point you got to know. There is a God. Does he want something from me? Did he take me out of Egypt? We'll get there. But first, let's know there is a God. Matsui, still existent. That's point number two. That's a little tougher. Rishon. He's first, preceded everything. We discussed that. V'hu mamtzi kol hanimtza. And he is the one that gave existence to all that exists. What a sentence. Foundation of all foundations. Let's say we understand that. Pillar of wisdom. That needs a definition. Why is this the pillar of wisdom? I understand why this is smart. I understand why this is important. But why is this the pillar of wisdom? Those of you who were here for our Pirkei Avos class on Sunday could put the two together and maybe it'll work to know, so we could understand that. That there is a potent being, we could understand that. Still existent, that maybe we still have to understand. He is the first, so that we've already explained. And he created all that exists. So that we've run through. And all things that exist from heaven to earth and all that are in between, do not exist but through the truth of his existence. Why did he say the truth of his existence? He didn't say because he created them. He said they exist through the truth of his existence. You guys want to go deep? Let's suggest the thought. I don't have a tradition that this is what the Rambam meant, so I'm going on thin ice. This is my understanding. You could agree, could disagree. There's one man named Nathanael Frankenthal sitting before you who is suggesting a pshat in the Rambam. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I don't know. So I'm telling you, it's my understanding. I don't know if it's true. But I'll share with you the way I think we could understand the Rambam. And yeah, you could disagree, you could tell me why I'm wrong, and maybe you'll convince me that I'm wrong, and then I'll have to keep looking for a better pshat. You notice we're not flying through this anymore, okay? Let's ask a simple question. Who said anything exists? Simple question. Maybe the whole world is a figment of our imagination. It's an interesting imagination. It's interesting. You know, when I was a kid, so they had this series called Star Trek. I never watched it, but once I was at a place where someone was watching it, and they... No, I'm not saying I never watched TV, I'm saying I never watched that. So I was once at a place where someone was watching it, and it was a very interesting thing. There was this... a guy that they wanted to put in jail on this spaceship, and so the jail of the spaceship was a never-ending room, where in his sensation, he had a whole planet to explore, he had everything, but he never left the room. And he thought he was going all over. He felt like he had everywhere to go. It was all a way of working on his mind, so the guy could do everything. He just couldn't harm anyone. He was stuck in that room. But they had a way of making it that he always thought he could climb trees, and he could eat bananas, and he could do whatever he wanted. No, so maybe that's this whole planet. Maybe that's all of life. So you guys never thought of that?
Where
never?
We are right now.
It's the imagination.
Oh, what are you going to tell me? You can tell me, but there's something having this thought process. I mean, maybe everything else is a lie, but my thought, that's real, that I know. So that you could say is the concept of I think, therefore I am. Meaning, the only thing I do know is my thought. Everything else, I live with the assumption that it's all true, but do I really know it? You know, do I know if there's really a world out there? Do I know if anything is real other than my own thought? I don't know. I live with the assumption it is, because I can't live any other way. I sort of get the feeling that if I won't put on a jacket, I'll be cold outside. But is there really an outside? Is there really cold? Is there really anything? I don't know. I know to the extent that I function with the understandings of the world I perceive. But I realize it's all my perception. So far, so good? So, if the only thing I can really, really know is my own perception, so what's the next step? Then there's one more thing I really, really know. That there has to be a source for that perception. I did not create myself. So then I'm up to two things I really know. There is a being that created, and there is me. I don't know if you're here, but I know I'm here, right?
Unless you're in the imagination of someone else.
You have to create something. What do you mean? I don't.
Creating. Someone else is creating.
You're in God's imagination.
But then that's still. But then. Still
but I'm still. What's the me? I feel like it's me.
His creator is the person imagining it, and then who's the creator of the person imagining him?
Okay, now that we've got those two, now let's look at the world around us. If I know me and I know him, so then everything else, imagination or not, is also because of him. But it's because of the truth that he is. You could say it's because of the truth that I am. But if you think about it, it's not. It's because of the truth that he is.
But do you know? You don't know. You know that something created, but you don't know him.
Right. We haven't yet gotten there. He said, first thing, how did he define it? There's a potent being that created everything that's being created. And now we have to discern. There are We'll take a simple example. You know, when you come to the bus stop, there are a lot of people, chances are the bus is going to come sooner, right? Does that mean if you come to the bus stop with all your guests, the bus will come sooner? No, it's not a cause, it's an effect, right? You know that, right? There are things that indicate something, but they are not necessarily the cause of it. Meaning there's a difference between saying that because I think, therefore I know God exists, than saying that man created God. It's two different things. Did I create God? No. I know his existence through my own thoughts. So far, so good? Two different things. So now sometimes people get a little confused. They say, well, if it's my thoughts, so then I created him. No, you didn't. You might have perceived him. It could be your thought that's going to recognize him. That doesn't mean you created him. Two different things. So far, so good?
No. You're assuming that our imagination or ourselves, we say there is a God. Many people, they assume there is no God. They assume that they come from monkeys.
Fine. And therefore what? Mm-hmm. You're going down a totally different route. We're not even discussing where we came from.
I'm
not saying people came from people. I'm saying I exist. I don't even say I came from my parents.
But you say because I exist, therefore there is a God that created me. So you assume there is a God that created you.
I'm not following.
You said I exist, so there is a creator, there is a God. So you're assuming that there is a creator.
Taking God out of the first cause. The universe itself created.
I'm not following which way you're going.
I'm going that way. Some people think that everything has happened. Bacteria here, microbes here, and explosions
say
there.
But you always got to go back and back and back and back. Were you there for our first class? Okay. So I can't.
That
was right. Yeah. We went through all of this. We had a long class discussing. I'm assuming you guys are coming to this based on the earlier classes about what. Meaning that's what we said: an irreligious, logical first proof to God's existence. That was a whole class unto itself. You can find it online. Okay. So. If God doesn't exist because I thought he exists, so then the logic dictates that it's the reverse. That's what we just said. If I think, therefore, the only thing I know for sure is me, but then I also know that something brought me here and I didn't bring myself, so then I can say there's a God. So what am I saying? The truth of his existence, I know because of the truth of my existence. But the truth of my existence is not because I know. Meaning, until now we were discussing my perception. Now let's discuss real facts. How did my existence come to be? Not how do I know I exist, but how did it come to be? Think about it. And then think about everything else on the planet. And then think about the Rambam's line, the truth of his existence is what causes the truth of everything, what causes everything else to be exist. Think about it, guys. I say you're not with me yet. So think, and we'll move from here next week.
You're saying the proof is in the world?
what are you saying? The fact that we can look around and say and see all these things shows us that that he's really true?
I didn't say he's really true from anything other than me. I began, but that's my perception.
Are you
saying, now let's walk away from the perception for a second. If I can say that through my perception of myself, I can perceive him, and everything else I don't know. But I do know he exists. Okay, that's the order of proof. That's not necessarily the order. Meaning, I'll also say, how do I know he exists? Because I didn't come from my... So who came first, him or me? Him, not me. My perception of him came second. Then it could be I perceive me, then I perceive him. But the order of creation is him, then me. So far?
Yeah, you can also prove his existence. Because your perception of yourself, you try and create yourself into an image that you see yourself as. You're trying to project another image of who you really are. You don't really know. I mean, you try and say that you're a good person or something like that. You're trying to say, like, everyone else is crazy. I'm normal. So you're creating an image for yourself. So then you can say that something created the image of me.
I didn't follow.
No?
I'm listening. I'm just not following.
I don't know how to explain.
Okay, so I want to suggest a thought, which maybe we're going too deep too fast, and maybe I'm not explaining well enough, but I want to suggest one thought in the Rambam, that the only reason I know that you're you and you're you is because of God's truth.
Because of God?
Because Hashem is true. But if he's out of the picture, then maybe this is all a game. Meaning, amitati matzo, the truth of his existence is what validates to my mind everything else's truth of existence.
Because he says that it's true, or because
because of the way he relates to me and relates to the world.
Not
yeah.
Just him, that's the way you relate.
Fine.
You can't learn that just from the fact that he exists, but everything else. Is
fine. True. Okay, that's direction of possibility. Maybe that's why the Rambam says amitati matzo, from the truth of his existence. Think about it. I don't have a tradition that's what the Rambam meant with that word. I don't know. Meaning, if he wouldn't have used the word amitati matzo, if he would have just said elamei matzo, I could have understood it. There is another possible understanding, which maybe we'll come back to. I'm sure there are other understandings, but another possibility to my mind, which we'll see after we advance some more, maybe we'll come back to it. I'll try to remember to come back to it. Yeah.
So you said that through you realizing yourself, you recognize there is a God, because there is a creator, right?
Yeah.
Nothing else. So only yourself, nothing else. You can get that conclusion. So, but if you're true, because through your perception there is a God, therefore everything you create will also be truth.
Why?
Because if you're true. Or something.
I only know my thought is true. I don't know anything else is true.
How do you know that perception of your thought is true, though?
Well, something's here. Don't call it my thought. Something's here. I agree with you. Maybe it's not what I think it is, but something is here. Something's talking. Something's thinking.
Okay, but what I was trying to say.
That what?
Is your perception of what you actually are, or your thought process.
Something's perceiving.
It's a creation of yourself, right? So then you know that something has to create that thought process, that original thought process.
Fine. Right? Granted, right. That's what I meant to say. Yes.
So, but if you sense yourself, you see, you hear, you speak. Therefore, you can see wood and you can make a table out of it.
Fine. That's
so, if you're true, because you realize that for you there is a God, and you conclude there is a creator, therefore, things that you will see for you, like with eyes, you see wood, you can create a table. So that will make the table something true.
Possibly, but maybe everything's a game.
Okay, therefore, so maybe you were a game. How can you say that everything is a game except yourself?
Something here is happening. But something is here. Maybe everything's a game but my thought.
Are you saying that you are true? You're not, but I don't know if he's saying.
Right, I'm not
that
saying that anything about me is true. Could be nothing about me is true.
That he is true.
Saying the only thing I know is some kind of thought is true. It's true to act as a sane, normal, and to live in this world, you better not stop and say, well, who knows? So there's a lie in there. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, right? Yeah, well, there's one way to find out.
So
it's a function normally in society. we don't stop and think about all this.
It'll go crazy too.
Right, right. The person who stops and thinks about all this goes crazy. I remember as a child
crazy right now.
Thinking about all this and reaching that conclusion. I have two choices in this world. To be normal or crazy. And right now I'm going to opt with the one that the world that I perceive calls normal. But but I remember sitting there contemplating this. Who says they're my parents? Who says they want what's good for me? Who says everything? You could question everything, and that's fine. But you have to realize that you're within a system, and from what you know, the system's real. And if you don't eat, you're gonna die. And you know, so okay, there's at some point you say, okay, I gotta work with the system. How much do I know? There's always that realm of well, I can't prove too much more than. Oh, that's where the Rambam's taking us. Possibly, no, you could prove a little bit more than, because if you start advancing, then you say, okay. So then I know me, I know him, I know him. So then maybe from the truth of his existence, I can also start understanding that there are other truths in the world. There's not just my perception.
Ram says there is a maximum of hakira that you can do to find God, to realize there is a God. So you cannot start to say, on Sefer Kochavim, he says that the maximum is you start to realize, you know, it's got up there, it's down here, it's got seats, it's got stands.
That's right.
So, okay, but there is a maximum of hakira, therefore, maybe there is a maximum of hakira for instigation, but who you are.
Fine. Huh? Fine. Okay. We stop mid-sentence in the Rambam to be continued next week.